Hello everyone and welcome back to Going Purple with me, Lissy McIntosh, where we talk about serious F1 stuff in a not so serious way. Well, I hope you enjoyed the last Jess episode. I definitely did. The pleasure was all mine. She is an honor to talk to. And I think I said when we were talking, I was like, when you talk, like, she could cry, not in a bad way, but she just, you know, everything someone says is just so genuine. So yeah, it was absolutely lovely for me. And I'm glad you guys enjoyed it from the feedback that we got on it so far. So, yeah, the last few weeks have been crazy, haven't they? And they're only going to get crazy with the end of this. Of course, it's not the end of the season, Lissy. Hold your horses, babe. But, I mean, well, it's the middle of September. We've got 2 months left. Gosh, it goes fast, doesn't it? That's why I'm not stressed about the like transition to what I call fall and I get slated for autumn. Because, you know what? In 6 months, the last 6 months have flown by. Am I right? Am I right, ladies? So in another 6 months, we'll be prepping for spring, I suppose. But I really don't like the change of seasons. Anyway, we've just had the Italian Grand Prix, which, mixed emotions. Normally, I'm not that critical of F1 races. Like, sometimes I find that the critique is like, unless 12 drivers crashed and there were 88 red flags, like people are like, oh, that was a bit boring. And I'm like, no, like the racing was really good. The racing was really close. And that's one thing I'm really enjoying about this season is like how close, especially the midfield is, how the top six can be like, five different teams, like there's so much variety. But I just didn't think the Italian Grand Prix was that interesting, to be honest. I think it's like, as I say, the season is so different in terms of like the midfield is so close and that's exciting. Like I would say the actual racing is really exciting, but there's no like head-to-head battle like there was last season. Like Max is driving a masterclass and it's a pleasure to watch that, in my opinion, but there's not the same like battle head-to-head element, especially every week, and I think that's slightly missing. But then again, it's not a TV show, like it is a sport, and Red Bull and Max are dominating at the moment. And I think he could win in Singapore. Speaking of Singapore, now I don't like to say things before they happen because I get really superstitious, but I should be there. Maybe I'll be there. I don't know. It's like, I find it really annoying when I'm like, I can't tell you what I'm doing. Because normally I actually can't. This time it's just like, I'm superstitious. And until every last document is signed and every contract has my signature on it, I get a bit superstitious. But it's looking good, maybe, possibly. Oh my God, why am I actually like this? It's like, I'm scared to jinx it. So yeah, the last few weeks have been really, really good. I have really been trying to vlog for you guys. Like genuinely, I've been like in airports trying to vlog, but I feel like it's hard because sometimes when I'm on a job, I don't want to like pull my camera out. I don't know. And then the day just like flies by and I'm usually giving it obviously like all my attention. But then I always wish that I'd vlogged more. So I do like a lot of TikTok vlogs and you guys love them. And I honestly, that's like one of my favorite things to do. And show you guys like the behind the scenes. And then when I work really like a long time on a longer piece of content or on an exciting project or something, I really love when you guys get to see that as well. But yeah, the vlogging, I was gonna do like a YouTube vlog. I might try maybe for like the next race or the next event I go to. But yeah, I just find it a bit hard to like pull the camera out, to be honest. I have a few clips, but I don't think it's enough to make like a full YouTube vlog. So yeah, but I hope you guys have enjoyed the TikTok vlogs and all the content. I love, as I say, when I work on something for like a lot of months, that is not the right thing. When I work on something for many months and then I get to release it, I get so excited. You guys have no idea. Most recently is the YouTube video that just came out with Charles and Carlos. That was so like special to film and such an exciting project. And yeah, I mean, these things come about like much earlier than then like I would probably think like it's months in advance that we start having conversations, or like a team or a brand or a sponsor will reach out and we'll start to have a conversation about like, is it for a specific campaign or do we just want to work together or whatever it is. And then, yeah, a lot of like negotiations and all that kind of stuff, which I've had to obviously learn so much about, like contracts and deals and things like that, because you kind of have to like protect yourself and understand what you're signing up to and things like that. So that's been really cool. But then after that, there's like a prep period, and I was filming obviously my content, but then I also filmed a video for the sponsor, which was shot by Race Service, and I was like hired by them as a presenter, I suppose. And then for my content, it was like for my channels, and I kind of got like more free reign, although everything has to be approved by the sponsors and by the team. And that's why, like, also after we filmed and like after the day has actually happened, like if I had it my way, I'd put all the content out immediately after, like in the taxi home. But everything has to be approved and re-edited and all that kind of thing. So that's why it takes a little bit of time. But you guys seem to love it, and I had the best time. My camera's just died, so that's good. But yeah, so I don't know whether I should... Hang on. Oh gosh, my whole filming setup's a bit of a nightmare, isn't it? Oh, never mind, this is boring for you. Either I filmed the vlog, or I have the podcast art in the background, or I stop and charge my camera. But I have actually recorded this entire podcast episode once before. So maybe not. Anyway, yeah, after Zandvoort, I went to Germany. Oh my God, guys, getting to Zandvoort was actually a nightmare, okay? I'm sorry. This was in the vlog, but we're not sure if the vlog's going up. So I had flown, I mentioned this in like a Pack With Me video. I had flown from Mexico and I was going obviously to Amsterdam, which is so beautiful there. Honestly, I wish I had had time to like actually look around, and I've been once before, but years and years ago. So I think if I'm going to go anywhere again in Europe, it's definitely going to be Amsterdam. It's so picturesque, like the canals and all the bikes, it's just so beautiful. But I was meant to fly right through Dallas. So I was meant to fly from Mexico, Cancun, to Dallas, to where to? To Amsterdam. And the day before, and I booked my flight. So smug. I was like, yeah, it's fine. An hour layover. That's totally fine. Don't need any more than that. I'm really quick in airports. Not remembering that I'm British and I have a British passport, right? So how am I going to get through the ESTA system and the customs in like 20 minutes and then get to my gate? I wasn't going to. Anyway, so I thought, I called American Airlines the day before I was meant to leave, and they were like, yeah, hun, like you're not going to make that connection. I was like, why do you sell a flight where you know I'm not going to, like, you know someone's not going to make the connection and it's non-refundable? It didn't make any sense to me. Honestly, if I was being really silly there or missing a trick, can someone tell me? Because I actually had to rebook an entire new flight that went through London instead. So yeah, I don't know, like when you're flying, when you're by yourself, it's a bit not boring, but like it would be like more fun to have someone to talk to. And also then when you've got like so much like going on, it's a bit stressful. But anyway, we made it there, was there for I think only 2 days, and then oh my gosh, it was a 5 a.m. flight the next day to Germany, and nightmare, absolute bloody nightmare. Okay, As I say, I left the hotel room at about, I don't know, I think it was 5 a.m. And then I think I spent 2.5 hours getting from like the dropped off to getting through security. It was actually crazy. And the flight was cancelled wherever I was meant to go. Anyway, I ended up going to Stuttgart. I hope I'm saying that right. And then I had to take 3 trains to get to the Hockenheimring, which I'm actually really glad I went to, because I was there for the GT World Challenge, which I'll tell you about in a second. But I just think it's cool. Like I was like on the track. Oh my God, I got to go in the safety car. I have so much to tell you. But I do think F1 may return to the Hockenheimring at some point. Maybe with Audi joining. We never know. We hope. We don't know. But yeah, I was there for the GT World Challenge. And I'm really glad. Basically, I was filming with Veloce, and they do like a series where they follow the GT World Challenge. And they're kind of like documentary episodes. So they've had 2 previously to me. And the race before me was a 24-hour race in Spa, which is very cool. And they've had some great presenters on there. So I was honored to kind of present and host an episode for them. And it was basically like following, not following me around, like I wasn't the main part of it, but like the cameras essentially like followed me for all of the days that I was there, kind of like showing like me learning about it, which I think is really cool. Because when I learn about like a new series or like whatever it is, like when I went to the Formula E, for example, I was like, oh my God, like Fan Boost is like the coolest thing in the world. And then I want everyone to know about Fan Boost. Like I'm very passionate about these things. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, everyone, like vote in the Fan Boost. Everyone, the GT World Challenge is so cool. And I just won't shut up about it. But I think that's good. I don't know. I'm glad I did it, because sometimes I think we can get really like comfortable, obviously, in our comfort zones. That's why it's called a comfort zone, right? And I'm glad that I said yes to this, because I learned so much and I worked with the most incredible crew, so talented. And yeah, the GT World Challenge is actually really cool. I don't know if I say Valentino Rossi to you guys, if you're going to get on board with it, but he races in the series. And there's a really cool team called the Iron Dames as well. We were following one main team, but then we also followed the Iron Dames. You guys will see it all when it comes out. I'm really excited for you to watch it. And also what I think is really cool is there's an esports race as part of the weekend, which, you know, esports is definitely like on the rise massively. And it's like part of the weekend. So you can, if you win points in the esports race, it goes towards the real life GT World Challenge Championship. So say you lost the championship by like 2 points, you could have won those in the esports race, which I actually think is really cool. But yeah, it was really fun. And as I say, I'm glad I like said yes to this. And I was going to say something. Oh yeah, I got to go in a lap of Hockenheim in the safety car. How cool is that? Honestly, I did feel really sick, I can't lie, but it was really, really good fun. And then, yeah, just hosting the days at the track. Obviously, track days are like super long. Like, I think one misconception of like working in motorsports is that it's all glam all the time, and it's all just like, you know, like, I don't know, taking pictures in various places. And it's not really like that at all. Like, I'm not complaining about it, but I think it's just a misconception. Like, there's a lot of like travel, and there's a lot of like long, long ass track days, a lot of late night McDonald's, a lot of prep, a lot of like, yeah, learning and revising things before you go to a job and things like that. But I really enjoy it, and I wouldn't change it for the world. But it was really good. And then I got home, and now I'm about to go off again, well, in a little while. As I say, I think Max could win in Singapore, and I would like to see a Mercedes win before the end of the season, if possible, please. Who do we think is going to take that Haas seat? I'm seeing so many Nico Hülkenberg rumours, so who knows what's going to happen there. Or, I mean, in my opinion, Nyck de Vries will take the Williams seat. I think Daniel Ricciardo may take a step back for the 2023 season. And I mean, why not? Why couldn't Nico take the Haas seat? But there's just so many contenders of drivers who deserve a seat at the moment and who would be good enough to race in Formula One. So it's really hard. Like, there's obviously so many names that go into like the hat of potential drivers. So we shall see what happens. But one thing I would like put money on is that Nyck de Vries will join Williams personally. Oh, actually, in other news, Pierre Gasly is, I'm sorry, he is unhinged. But I actually love it. F1 social media is funny sometimes. I was having a conversation the other day about how I actually find it so interesting how, even with Drive to Survive coming out at the end of each season, it's almost like social media, even in the last season of F1, has changed so much that people don't want to wait for Drive to Survive anymore. And I suppose that's kind of like the power of TikTok and the power of social media, is that everything is so instant. Like with the Oscar Piastri drama, for example, I can pull out my phone and talk to all of you guys instantly. And obviously, like, I'm not anti-Drive to Survive in the slightest. Do I think it's very dramatized? Absolutely. But do I think it's really entertaining? Of course. But I just think it's interesting how we live in a like society and a culture now. I don't know how this has anything to do with Pierre Gasly's tweets, but how we all just want everything so instantaneously now. And I just wonder like how that's going to affect Formula One going forward. Like this sport, I would say, has changed the most out of any sport digitally in the last year. And obviously, like, I'm so grateful and honored to have been part of like part of the change and like part of that wave. Like, I truly do think that it has been like crazy, like so much, I don't know if you'd call it progress, but so much change has been made. I would call it progress in the last year. And I just was thinking about that. I was just thinking about how drivers are just like approaching social media and how many of them are joining TikTok now as well. I think it's crazy. But anyway, I shall leave you with that thought. I love you guys very much. I should be having a really fun podcast coming up very soon with a special guest who may have been an F1 driver at some point, but who knows? Anyway, all right. I love you guys. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.